Yes, yes. There I am, there I am, there I am. What's funny is we didn't plan for today to be like that. It wasn't supposed to be my wife get to sing and then I get to preach. You know, I was supposed to preach last week, but because y'all didn't want to get out of the house on the ice and snow and come to church one day, bam, right? So it got kind of pushed, and I guess that kind of shows how big God can be. So I already hear sniffling, all right? Y'all know that I'm an emotional wreck when I get to talk about Jesus. So the sniffling is not helping me right now. So kind of reel that in a little bit, because I have a really awesome message that God has laid on my heart. But before I get started, I want to apologize to the men who went with me to the men's conference. You got to listen to Ken Whitten and Gene Chizik and Dr. Tony Evans. And then you got to listen to Steve Gaines. And now you get to listen to Mike Milner. I'll go ahead and tell you, I come up here last night and I took some notes at that. I think everybody was trying to take notes and stuff, and I was writing the notes, and my sermon's been ready for a couple weeks, but I come up here last night, man, that's so good. I want to put that in there, and I'm like, where am I going to do it? Because there's nowhere it can fit, because I'm going to tell you, I'm looking at that clock, and I don't like it, because I got some good stuff today, and I pray that this comes across, that you can understand something and hear something that you've never heard of before. But like you can see, we're going to continue along with that series of God, I want to be happy. And some of your life groups, you've already done some this morning, and tonight you're going to dig into it again, and you're going to be talking about peace with God. Nate said this is an easy one. I agree with him. Because just like my shirt says, you like my shirt? Yeah. Just, I get the opportunity today to tell you about Jesus, but I get to tell you on a really personal level. So I'm really excited about that. But why is that important that we're continuing to study, that the life groups are doing? Because, you know, I pray, guys, that you've plugged into a life group. I pray that you've started to meet some new people. I pray that you've started to see some sides of some older people that you didn't know existed. But I pray that you've plugged in together and you're going along this, because we want to come in here week after week and preach and go along with the study, but you will not hear us cross over too much. So I just want you to understand that if you're not in a life group, please plug into one and get in with it, because this is a real good study, because who doesn't want to be happy? Right? I know you're sniffling right now, but there's still smiles. I'm still seeing smiles left to right and front to back. So I still know a lot of people in here want to be happy. So here's what we're going to do. This morning, I got to get going. We're going to start with a question. And that question is, and I will do my best to try and answer that question through this message and through everything we do today. But that question is, how do I know that I have peace with God? So let us pray. Father God, I just come to you right now, God. I just thank you for the awesome ride that I have personally been on for the last few days. Father, if I could just take a moment just to thank you for being able to sit in a van and ride for 4 hours to Nashville and meet some of the most amazing people I've ever met. People that when disaster comes, these men come running in. And so, Father, I thank you for that opportunity. And God, then I thank you for the 3-hour bus rides or van rides to Memphis to sit with my brothers and hear what it is called to be moving from a male to a man. And so, Father, I just thank you for that. But God, right now, God, I thank you for this opportunity. God, this opportunity to stand behind your pulpit, God, where so many great men have stood before. So, Father, I thank you for that opportunity. But now, God, I ask that I decrease and you increase. Father, I pray that you're glorified through your word, and we don't leave this room today without understanding what it means to have peace with God on your terms. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So when I get the call that I get the opportunity to preach, I normally go back in there or I go back in my home or wherever, and you know, I sit back here and I think, because when I preach, I never want to preach to you or at you, but I want to preach with you. Because, you know, right over there where Darren's sitting right now, you know, there was a Mike Milner that stood there or sat there four or five years we went here, and he had the 8-to-5 job. He was tired. He would race from work to race up here on Wednesday night to lead some awesome kids in middle school. And he'd go home dog tired that night. And then he has the 3 sons that kept him busy, from everything from baseball to basketball to football to tennis to, to even play practice. So I knew what it was like to try and coordinate that and move that and get us all going there. I know what it's like to be a husband. I know what it's like to be a son. I know what it's like to be a friend. And I fail a lot of those times in a lot of those situations. But when I was preparing for this message, it's like I'm always trying to talk to that mic. Or if you go back to 2009 or 2010, there's a mic in this room right now that doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. And so when I prepare my message or I start to study something, I do my best to communicate to that mic and to also that other mic. And why do I do that? Because I know what some of you are going through. I know what some of you are going through right now, and maybe by something I say or something I do today could help you through that. And I know that right now some of you are going through the same stuff that I'm going through. And together, if you hear me talk, we can build that relationship where we can try and do this together. And then there's some in this room who've been through some things that I have not been through. But I can look to you and learn from you and start to figure out how to get through that. So what I prepare for messages, that's the way my mind works. That's the direction I go. And I sit back there and I ask myself, God, how do I know that I have peace with God? And I think about it and it rattles around in my head and I go, well, do I even know that I have peace with God? And then to even go Southtown Simple, do I even understand the word peace? And so I asked Google, right? Anybody ask Google anything? No? So I asked Google, Google, define peace for me. And here's what Google told me. Because peace is defined by the world. Catch that. The world defines peace as this. Ready? Freedom from disturbance. Don't laugh yet. Quiet and tranquility. Mental calm and serenity. That's a fun word to say. A state or period at which there is no war or war has ended. Freedom from civil disorder. Free from anxiety and free from distress. And then this last one. I read it and I was like, what? The world defines peace as dead. To suggest that someone has escaped the difficulties of life. Now I'm going to come back to that one. But I read those definitions, right? And I'm looking at them and I'm like, and I kind of like somebody laughed. I said, will the world, by those definitions, will the world ever find peace? By that definition, quiet and tranquility. All right, I'm looking for the parent in here, right? Quiet and tranquility. That is a very rare moment. Is there any parent in here that's praying for just a moment of peace and you get there and you're like, ah, and then a Nerf dart to the top of the head. And you're like, what? Where went my peace? Where went? See, it just ran away from us. That second one, mental calm and serenity. I'm not quite sure, but I think you have to pay for that form of peace. You think so? I am in serenity. Civil disorder. Turn on TV, folks. I'm going to say it. Ain't happening. No war. That's what it says. No, a state of period in which there is no war. That is hilarious. Because I don't think right now I could count on my digits how many conflicts are going on in our world right now. But you always hear people say, peace in the Middle East. We want peace in the Middle East. Has anyone ever seen the movie Miss Congeniality? Oh, yeah. You're like excited. You like that one, huh? Well, if you have not seen it, it's a movie about An FBI agent, the FBI finds out that someone's about to blow up the Miss, you know, United States pageant. Miss America pageant, sorry. And the FBI decides to place a lady in the pageant where she can foil the attempt. So the FBI takes Sandra Bullock, if y'all know who she is, and they make her Miss New Jersey. And they place her in the pageant, and she makes it all the way to the interview stage. And she's up there on stage. Well, I tell you what, I can't do a good job. Just play it.
I would have to say world peace. Definitely world peace. That's easy. World peace. World peace.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for a parole violator, Stan. And world peace.
Told you she'd do it better. World peace. Everybody wants world peace. I just thought that was funny. But by definition, the only everlasting peace by the world's definition was death. But see, now I'm at the point like, but wait a minute. I know there is a heaven, but I know there is a hell. And so my question to that person in this room, if you're looking for that type of peace, have you considered the afterlife? If not, we will talk about that here in a minute. So by definition, the world basically defines peace as small moments, but then those moments depend on situations and resources that are available to us. Basically, what the definition should have said, where I would have been like, ah, got you. Basically, what it should have said, peace is defined as something you hope for. So what does Jesus say about peace? What is Jesus' definition of peace? Well, once again, just like the Beatitudes, I love that series, by the way, Mr. Brother Nate, that Restoring Our Joy. Jesus comes and he takes the word peace and he basically just flips it over. And he says, I'll tell you about peace. You ready? If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John 14, 27. And it says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And some of you are in your setting right now like, wait a minute. You said, talking about anxiety and free from stress, and that's kind of what the world said, right? That's what you just said. But did you miss the first part of that? Did you focus? Here's where I want to carry you back to the very first part of John 14, 27. My peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. So right there, Jesus says the peace that was in definition, that peace that will never happen, hold on a second, I can give you a peace. A peace that is not a saying. A peace that is not a feeling. A peace that is not based on actions, right? But a peace that is found in a place. Let that sink in for a second. I read this in my devotionals this week. It was back on January 24th, and I love this. It says, my peace is treasure of all treasures, the pearl of great price. It is an exquisitely costly gift, both for the giver and the receiver, because you know why? I purchased this peace with my blood. You received this gift by trusting me in the midst of life storms. And here's a problem I found in this, not in what she said, but I kind of realized the definition between world peace and Jesus' peace. If you have the world's peace, which is everything going your way, you do not seek my peace. See, the problem with that, the problem I felt with that, and this is where we're going to stay today. The problem with that type of peace, the problem with, God, I want the peace of God. The problem is we want it on our terms. And not his. And so I got some terms I want us to look at. And the very first term is some of us just want to, ready? We want to feel the presence of God. We want to feel peace with God. We just want to feel it. And that is called, ready? Mike's going to give you a big word, subjectivism. Hey, that kind of hurt. A lot of people just said, whoa. Subjectivism, no, I'm kidding. Subjectivism means I base my view of God on how I feel today. I base God on my emotions. This is funny. Could you imagine me if I base my view of God on my feelings? For those of you who know me, you kind of know what I'm talking about. I'm seeing a lot of smiling faces. And some of you are like, who is this guy and what is he talking about? But I am an emotional wreck. When I talk about God, he goes straight into me. And so if I was to base my feeling or my view of God on those feelings, someday I would just be a weeping wreck. I would come in here and I would cry. It would just be so sad, and I wouldn't know what to do with myself. And then some days I'd be full of energy and excited. And then some days I would come in here after a 100-hour road trip, I would be dog tired. And that is a dangerous place to be. I'm going to say we a lot, because I want you to catch that we. I don't say you, I say we, which means we. We want the peace of God, but we tell God, today, God, I just don't feel like worshiping you because I'm tired. We turn around and we say, God, I just don't feel like praying today. Because God, today, God's not a good day for me because oh, such and such said something and I'm not praying today. Today is just not a good day for me. I had this in my notes, but the weather threw me out. It says, some of you look outside those windows and you're like, wow, it's beautiful out there. I don't feel like going to church today. You know what I feel like doing? Taking the old boat and dropping it on the lake. And then in a few weeks, if the way Tennessee weather rolls, you're going to look out those windows and you're going to be like, ooh, it's cold out there. I don't feel like going to church today. I'm going to sit here and snuggle in my new Christmas blankets. Sorry, Darren. New Christmas blankets. You don't feel like it today. Have you ever considered how feeling focused you truly are? Have you ever thought and sat down and thought about how feeling focused, the feelings of your life drive your life? I guarantee you there's someone in this room today that's heard something I've said already, and you're sitting there going, how do I feel about him saying that? I'm looking for him. Without even knowing it, by your own words or your own feelings, you have judged what I've said this morning. I'm sure there's people in here today who are sad. I'm sure there's people who are depressed, who are tired. Don't everybody raise your hands. I'm sure there are a lot of people in here who are happy and you're joyful and you're full of energy. Don't look around for that person. But I was trying to say that. What I was trying to say there is, do you understand that at any given moment of your day, at any given moment of your life, at any given moment, you are going through a wide range of emotion. Some of you were sad when you come in here and you saw my beautiful face and you got happy. Some of you were happy when you come in here and you saw my beautiful face and you got sad. At any given point of this day, your feelings will dictate how you go about it. And I got a point, I promise. And here's my point. We let our feelings tell us truth, instead of letting the truth transform our feelings. I don't base my feelings and my passion on how I feel today, you know what I'm saying? I base my passion and what goes inside of me on the truth. That's what I base mine on. But that is how we live. That is what culture says. Follow your heart and do whatever makes you feel good. Burger King hit it right on the head. They said, have it your way. Some of you just got hungry. But it does not stay out in the world, right, guys? It comes on into this church, too. It comes on into our home. Men, you know what I'm talking about. It comes on into your lives as well. It basically, at any moment of our life, as fathers, as husbands, as Christians, we place our faith in God on how we feel today. We ask God for more experiences. We say, God, if you will do this, if you will show me this, then I will believe in you. And I will believe your truth. We become old doubting Thomas, right? John 21:25, unless I see in your hands the mark of the nails and I place my hand into your side, I will never believe. But Jesus, I have to add this in there in verse 26, he says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. We come in here for corporate worship, guys. See, many of us come in here week in and week out. We walk through those doors and we come into this room and we deny ourselves of worshiping the Father. We deny ourselves of just looking upon His face and just falling to our knees or our hands or however you want to do it. And we deny ourselves the opportunity to worship who He is. Because our passion is absent. Because we just don't feel like it this morning. Let's talk about our Bible. And let's talk about the Scripture that was written to us and for us. C.J. Mahaney writes this. We read words like redemption. We read words like Savior, gospel, and grace. But yet they bring no response in us at all. We just simply pass over them, looking for something else to light the fire that is inside of us. And some of you are in here, and some of you are saying, but Mike, you said you understood what I go to. You understood the time frame that I'm constrained to. You understand how tired I am. You said that, and I get that. You said you understand, but you still have to make time to study the Word of God. I did. It might have been in a 30-minute drive back and forth to Forkham Lanham. It might have been my entire lunch break all week, but I was in the Word of God. I love to show people my Word of God because I tattoo it up. I write all in it, and I go crazy in it. My Romans, I mean, if you could see, it's just always something different. I made time for the Word of God. So yes, I do know what you're going through, but I do know you also have time. Sorry if I stepped on your toes. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones issues this warning. You ready? Avoid the mistake of concentrating overmuch upon your feelings. You need to, above all, avoid the terrible error of making them central. Avoid making these mistakes. Anyone who avoids making this mistake, he says, is doomed to be unhappy. Because of the failure to follow the order that God Himself has ordained. He goes on to say, I love this part. And it is we apprehend and we submit ourselves to the truth that the feelings will follow. So, if you're looking for peace of God or peace with God on your own terms of subjectivism, I'm sorry, but you will never have it. Because subjectivism changes the truth to fit the individual feeling and emotion. And your peace is not based on truth. It is based on how you feel right now. So can you have some peace with subjectivism? No. Subjectivism brings chaos. So someone in here right now, and I could probably finish this message right here on this statement, if peace then should be based on truth,
Mike, what is truth? Well, that's simple. That's simple. You want to finish this message right now, understand this statement. If you want truth, here's your truth. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Every one of you. From front to back, to left to right, to smiling, to sad, to everyone. That is truth. That is what I base my feelings on. That is where my passion is based on, because I know what ditch God dug me out of. Why am I emotion? I know what hole I was sitting in when God reached down and He pulled me out of it. I know. And that's not based on my feelings. That is based on what His Word, His truth says. Our second term. Some of us just want to work for the peace of God. And that is legalism. Whoa, hit them with two words. Foul. Legalism means we base our relationship with God on our own performance. You know, I want peace with God, but I'm going to do it one way, and I'm going to do it my way. See, legalism is a sinful fruit from sinful roots. Now I'm a poet and you didn't know it. Legalism is a sinful fruit from sinful roots. See, legalism has its origin in self-worship. Legalism is very, very serious. Basically, legalism claims this, guys, is that God, you're saying to God, say, God, in effect, God, your plan, God, your design, God, that did not work. See, that cross right there, that was not enough. And I have to add my good works to it to be saved, to have peace with God. Now, of course, no one in this room is going to admit that you say those words out loud. But is that not the message we send? Is that not the life message? Talking to my youth. We sin when we shift our focus off of what He has done to what we are doing. Without saying a word, we just shift focus over to, hey, I come in here, I come and do all this. I come in here and I pray my prayers, God. I sing my songs, God. I give my money. I give my talents. I give my treasure. I lead my child. I lead my children. I lead adult life groups. I lead youth groups. Only to have lost focus on why we even do that at all. Myself included. Folks, we don't do those things for salvation, for peace. We do those things because of salvation and because of our peace. Because it is out of a sense of love and not obligation. Ephesians 2:9 says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that no man will boast about it. Turn with me real quick to Galatians 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 4 real quick. Paul hears what's happened at the church of Galatia, and he's broken. He hears what he was there. There was this great revival. They were on fire for God. And then Paul writes this letter. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. In my Bible, I write Mike. Oh, foolish Mike. Who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as it had been seen on a picture of His death on the cross. So let me ask you this one question, Mike. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the laws of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? Like, not so hard, Paul. After starting your new life in this Spirit, here it is. Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely, guys, it was not a vain, was it? Your works, my works, our terms, will not lead to peace with God. Because legalism fails to accomplish God's purpose because, here it goes, it is an outward performance instead of an inward change. See, we change what God intended as a mean of experiencing grace. God, I want to experience your grace. Legalism takes it from there and it goes to a point of, God, I don't want to experience it anymore. I want to earn your grace. But God's word is so clear on this subject. For no one, Romans 3:20, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing with what the law commands. Because the law just simply shows how sinful we truly are. So brother and sister, if you're going off of legalism, let me go ahead and tell you right now, if you think you've got to work to get peace with God, if you think you've got to do this and do that, I want to go ahead and share this point. You are never more loved and you are never more saved than you are right now. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about what He has done. So can you have peace with legalism? Nope. You do not obtain peace with God by what you do. You obtain peace with God by what He has done. Because peace is not a saying. Because peace is not a feeling. Because peace is not an action. Peace becomes a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. Our final third term. All right, I'm going to make it through this one. I know I am without bawling, but here we go. Some of us feel like we do not deserve the peace of God. And that is condemnation. I don't feel like I deserve the peace of God. See, condemnation means we are being more focused on our sin than on His grace. I want the peace of God, Mike. I want the peace of God, but Mike, I don't deserve it. Because there are people at the sound of my voice, we're carrying around this thing I'm going to call baggage, right? I'm going to carry it. Well, the Bible calls baggage condemnation. Because there is a mother or there is a father in here who feels guilty. Because he's rarely home. And his kids are growing up way too fast. And he has so much regret inside him, or she has so much regret inside them that they feel like they've missed so many moments. They feel like there's so many words or so many things they should have said. There's so many promises that they broke. And they've realized that they're in a moment where they'll never get some of those moments back. There's a Christian father in here who has allowed his anger to get the best of him. Who has put him to the point that he said some things that he really didn't mean. There's a mother in here who's doing everything she can do, but she still feels like she didn't do enough. There's a man or a woman or there's a man or a woman in here who is battling with the same sin that just keeps popping up inside their mind. And for some reason, it's like the devil knows what my Tootsie Roll is. And he knows what will get me to take my focus off of God and focus off of the gospel and what he's done in my life. And it's like he's shaking and I look, ooh, Tootsie Roll. I'm like, Tootsie Roll. But there's a person in here that there's a sin that just will not let them go. And so they get to a point of their life, they realize, you know what, I don't think I deserve peace with God because of this. And you sit there and you say things, I will never do that again, only to 2 weeks, to 2 days, to 2 hours, to 2 minutes, to 2 seconds, you do it again. And if you heard me just then, and I'm all over with something that some of you are struggling with, I need you to turn to Romans 7:21. And I need you to read this. And I told you my Romans was highlighted. And I told you It's just amazing, but I pray that you read this and you read it for what it is. Don't skim across it just saying, oh, I read the book of Romans. No, you take time and you study it and you look at it, and here's what you're going to pull from it. Romans 7:21, it says, I have discovered this principle of life. I have figured something out. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all of my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power, it makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Catch me, are you here? Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25, thank God. For the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but inside of me, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. And if that is you, I need you to read Romans 8:1. I need you to underline it, highlight it, circle it, memorize it, do whatever you need. If you're in that point with me, Mike, if you're back there and you're struggling with something, Romans 8:1. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is a war inside each of us. And you will never have peace until you have Jesus. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, all the love and the acceptance which perfect obedience could have been obtained by God, ready, belong to you. Because Christ was perfectly obedient on your behalf. Because peace is not a saying. Because peace is not a feeling. Peace is not an action. Peace is in a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. And so we looked at our terms of legalism and subjectivism and condemnation, and God just basically says, move that out of the way. I want you to know how to have peace with God, and I'm going to make it as simple as I can make it. You want peace with God? It begins with faith in Christ. That's it. C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself, because it is not there. It is no such thing. I'm sweating. Here we go. It is no such thing. See, peace with God does not begin with your feelings. Peace with God does not begin with you trying to make yourself better. Peace with God does not begin with breaking bad habits. Peace with God does not begin with you coming into this church and sitting down in that seat and putting money in that plate and praying a prayer and listening to a fat guy speak and sing a song. Peace does not begin right there. Acting righteous does not make you righteous. Peace with God begins with faith in Christ. Listen to Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us in a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we can confidently and we can joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Anybody in here want that? Don't pretend, church. Don't pretend that you are in God or in some kind of understanding. Don't pretend that even though you're still living in disobedience with God, that somehow you're going to have peace with God, because you're not. You have to live by His term. And that term has to be grounded in that truth. Paul wrote and begins every one of his letters, if you ever read Paul, the books in the New Testament, he starts off every letter with the same prayer. Romans 1:7, I can read them all, but I ain't got time. Romans 1:7, all the way to Titus, to Philemon 1:3. He always says this. I challenge you to look that up. It's really cool. But what does he say? Well, I'll go back to Romans 1:7. Ready? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul started every letter because he knew grace and peace could only be found in Christ. And that's the good news. In my devotional this week, I read this, right? I added this in here. I got to do one of those, Nate. I got to read something and then add it in. This is a challenge to you. Ready? It's a challenge to you. Because I'm standing in truth, and my cry stuff and my emotion, it's based on truth, and I know what truth is. But my challenge to you guys is, if you don't understand the peace with God, here we go. The Prince of Peace. Have you found genuine peace that can be yours, right? Can be yours through Jesus Christ? Or are you still rushing after the illusion of peace and happiness that the world promises but cannot deliver? See, the beautiful words of John 14:27. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Those beautiful words of John 14:27 remind us that Jesus offers us peace, not as the world gives, but as He alone can give. And here it is, our challenge, your challenge, is to accept Christ's peace into your hearts. And then, as best as you can, share your peace with your neighbor. Today, as a gift to yourself, who doesn't want a gift? A gift to your family, who doesn't want to give a gift to their family? A gift to your friends, here's the gift. Claim the inner peace that is your spiritual birthright, the peace of Jesus Christ. It is offered freely, it has been paid for in full, and it's yours for the asking. So ask and then share. I like that one. It really gave me a challenge as well, because I want to tell as many people as I can about Jesus Christ. But I'm going to finish with this right here, Micah 5:2-5. It says, but you, O Bethlehem, just listen to the words. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who's to be ruler in Israel, whose coming of forth is from old and from ancient of days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and he shall shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And verse 5 of Micah 5. And he shall be their peace. So in closing, the question at the beginning of the service was, how do I know that I have peace with God? My question to you is, are you at peace with God on His terms? And unless you can say yes to that question, you will not be at peace with yourself, others, or God. And so how do you have it? I gave it to you as simple as I could get it. I put it out there and as fast as I could do it. But there is someone in this room who does not understand that peace with God. Guarantee it. I was at a men's conference with 2,500 men. And the gospel presentation was delivered. And 50, 60 men come down forth and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. And if that can happen there at Bellevue, where it is a men's conference, I'm guaranteeing there's someone in this room who does not know who Jesus Christ is. I'm guaranteeing there's someone in this room that has felt something today, that has been convicted by something today, that says, Mike, I want that peace with God. But I based it on my feelings. And I based it on my works. And then I felt like I didn't deserve it because of the crap I have in my life. But God says, it's not about your feelings. It's not about your work. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I would be a fool if I was to step out from behind this pulpit and not offer you that opportunity today. If there's someone in here that's struggling with that, that want to know more about that, I will tell you my Jesus story. But it's not about what I say. I want you to understand right now, if you would like the peace with God, admit you're a sinner. Romans 3:20 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one person in here that's not a sinner. And then you believe, Romans 5:8, you believe what Jesus Christ did for you, that while we were still sinners, right? While we were sinners, it wasn't, I was a sinner, I got right, now I want to accept Jesus as Lord. No, brother, no, sister. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And then the last thing you do is you just confess, because that's not what it's about, you, but confess Him as Lord, meaning that He is the boss. I've had a lot of bosses in my life, and by far Jesus is the best. All day, every day. Nath, you're okay. Jesus, seriously, Jesus is the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. My wife, she was struggling singing earlier. She let go and let God. I know she did. Seeing my son's drum, just listening about, I'm so proud of my kids and all that stuff. And you know, that conference last night, it was like, it wasn't a kick, you know, like psh, get going. It was more like keep going. You know, a lot of you know my story, and you've seen how God's moved through me and moved into my family. So, but I did the same thing. I'm just trying to tell you, He is my boss. He's a good daddy. But if you will confess with your mouth, right, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, Scripture tells us, doesn't say you might be, it says you will be saved. And so if anyone would like to do that today, you come down here and take me by the hand, and I will show you and I will walk you through everything I just said. But let me pray real quick. Let me close us in prayer, and then we'll go into invitations. Well, Father God, Father, I just thank You for this day, God. I just thank You for this moment. God, I just thank You for the opportunities to speak Your word. God, I pray that there was somebody in this room that heard something for the first time. God, I pray that there was someone in this room, God, that was like, Mike, You're all over me. God, I want to know what that peace is. Father, I pray for them. I pray that today is the day of their salvation. God, I pray for someone in here who thought they had an understanding of the peace with God, and God, it's just been just too much mud, or that the light's not been coming through for so long. God, I pray today, God, that that was cleaned away. And that, God, that finally somebody knows that, like, I do have peace with God. What am I doing? Because I know it's not based on my feelings. I know it's not based on my works and this condemnation. God, You told me a long time ago that it had been removed. So, Father, I just pray for that person as well. Father, I pray that You become clearer than You've ever been to them before in their life. But God, I just thank You for this time. God, I just thank You for this opportunity. Father, You're a good God. And You're a big God. But Father, I pray that You were glorified, God. I pray that You were present, God. And I pray that You just smiled down upon Your weak servant. Father, I love You and I praise You. And God, I thank You. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. So as we go into a time of invitation, you, like I talked about, you come down, you take me and Brother Nath by the hand. We'd love to talk to you a little bit about you. We'd love to give you some stuff, because I don't like it when people accept Christ and then they're just left to flop around in the world. I want to come along beside you, and I want to give you something and be there for you and help you through it. And I'm sure Nate does too. I saw 60 men last night accept Christ, and Steve Gaines said, come on here, let's go in the back, and we got some stuff for you. So if you accepted Christ today, just come out and take us by the hand. But also, this is a time of prayer, guys. You don't have to come here. You can sit in your seat. But just take this time to reflect on what you heard. Take this time to pray to God, like, God, I missed you. And God, just pray amongst yourselves. Pray if you've got something going on, you come down. Maybe you're excited about what we're trying to do here at Mount Vernon or what's been going on here at Mount Vernon. And you'd like to join. You just come down and take us by the hand and we'll go through that process but well. But whatever it is, God, this is your moment, guys. Your time to reflect, your time to pray, your time to do whatever. You just take advantage of it.